This is the Kinky Cast, an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 118 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. We welcome guests with opposing viewpoints. Today, our guest is Lady Steele on Cigar Service and Play. Here's your host, Woody and Chrissy.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. I am blessed to have a beautiful woman in the chair next to me. Hi, Chrissy.
Hi, Woody. Thank you for that.
Well, it's always nice to see a pretty face over there.
Thank you, and you're looking awfully handsome yourself.
Oh, let's stop this recording
here. Come closer.
So, Chrissy, who do we have with us tonight?
Tonight we have a wonderful woman from Atlanta. She's been on the Kinky Cast in the past. You may remember her, Lady Steele.
Of course I remember, the attorney.
Yes. Hi, Lady Steele.
Hey, everyone. How are you?
Welcome back to the Kinky Cast.
Yes, thank you.
I'm always glad to be here. Everyone is so nice, and I like nice.
We do good nice.
Yeah.
But we can be sadistic if we want.
Yeah, you even do mean nice.
And even better.
Yeah. I'm with it.
So you're coming to us from beautiful Atlanta, where summer has hit suddenly.
It has. It's been in the 80s these last couple of days. I stepped outside and I was pleasantly, surprised.
You have some interesting things on our subject list tonight. Tell us more.
Well, tonight I'm here to talk about cigar service and cigar play. I learned a vast majority of what I know from a lady who was a slave of a well-known leatherman in Dallas, Texas, JJ, and shout out Slave JJ, about everything that I know about cigars. Like I said, I got from her. The reason why that was is that I'm actually an Atlanta native. Well, as close to a native as you can be without being born here. And whenever I was living in Dallas for a couple of years, I kind of fancied that I was going to stay there. And cigars are a huge part of the culture in Texas. And so I thought, you know, and I would go to parties and everybody was smoking them and these girls were doing all this service and some guys. I was really fascinated with it because I love service. I'm a very service-oriented slave myself. And I absolutely adore learning new ways to make master happy. And so I approached her and she said, sure, I'll be glad to teach you anything you want to know. So groovy. Really, honestly, it happened all in one afternoon. It was absolutely wonderful because it is one of those areas of service that if the person really enjoys cigars or if they're just learning, it's the kind of service that you can really enhance their experience of being served in a very short period of time as far as the learning curve is concerned.
Excuse me. That's good for me to know because that's something I want to learn how to do. And I have no experience with cigar service.
Yeah, let's go back to the beginning. What is cigar service?
Okay, I'm very glad you asked that because please allow me to delineate the difference between cigar service and cigar play. Cigar service is a process by which whenever I serve master or anyone else that he tells me to serve a cigar, and that can include anything from picking one according to their taste, picking a specific one according to what they have in their humidor, presenting it to them, and I can, of course, get into much more detail in these steps later, presenting it to them, unwrapping it, preparing it by cutting it, charring it, lighting it, all the way through to making sure it stays lit, and this is a big one, after it is lit, because cigars are not like cigarettes where they'll just burn and burn and burn and burn and burn, and that's it. If you do not keep them stoked, if you don't keep the oxygen flowing, they most will end up, 99.9% of them, will inevitably go out. And once a cigar goes out after being lit, it never tastes the same again, no matter how good you are at relighting them. And I can explain the chemistry and all of this behind it if you'd like, but that's all part of the actual cigar service itself. I also consider part of the service to be if you serve someone regularly, like I'm married to Master, we have a family, we have our own home. He has a large size humidor that I maintain. And maintenance things such as making sure the humidity is right, making sure no weevils have invaded or beetles have invaded the tobacco, making sure that none of them have grown mold or anything like this. And again, I could go on about this for hours. So however you would like for me to narrow this down, I'll be more than glad to.
So that's really the technical side of it.
Oh, cigar service is very technical. It's very technical, especially the maintenance.
Let's say you've been asked to prepare a cigar for your master. He wants to have a cigar and a scotch. What's your first step? What do you do?
I will tell you even where we have this. We have a monthly cigar meeting, and it's called the Worthless Bastards Club.
It was actually I love it.
I shamefully stole from Dallas. The gentleman, J. Lube Jack, actually, JJ's master at the time, had started the club, and we decided to be worthless and steal the name and start an Atlanta branch. And so once a month, we get together and do the following. He will tell me, let's say on a night like that, I want either a long one or a short one, because of course he's talking a lot. And so he doesn't want it to burn out. Or Master's just the kind of man, he'll sit and he'll smoke for about 30 to 45 minutes. But after that, he's kind of done with it. So like an extremely long or thick stick, you know, a multi-ring stick or a high ring stick, which is the thicker ones. He's just not into that. A vast majority of our cigars that he smokes are already shorts to begin with. So if he just looks at me and says, girl, go get a cigar, I've already stocked the humidor with the kinds, meaning the brand and the flavor that he likes, some flavored, some not, and different people. And that's another thing. Cigar, the love of cigars, people who smoke cigars, it's a very, very subjective thing. You know, some people like heavier, some people like lighter, some people like flavored, some people think that flavored cigars are for wimps, you know, all this other stuff. So I'll give you an example. This last week, whenever we had our Worthless Bastards Club, he already had his cigar picked out. But if we're going to start absolutely start to finish, I would go to the humidor. I would probably be able to judge already how much time he had, take it out. And you can do this sitting next to them, on your knees, on the floor. My personal favorite position is for him to sit with his legs spread and for me to sit between his legs. Indian style, because my knees are really bad anyway. So service is not about pain necessarily. And well, you know, masters, if you abuse your toys and you can't play with them. So master knows my knees are sensitive. So I do frequently sit on a pillow in front of him. And what I would do is that I would sit Indian style and I would present to him the cigar still in its wrapper, still with the ring on, and show it to him. And I take both fingers holding on each end and I place it in front of him. Of course, you know, whenever he's done with this conversation or whatever, then he'll take the cigar, take a look at it, smell it, and approve it or not. And then he gives it back to me. That's whenever I take the wrapper off, set it next to me, give it back to him. It now has a different smell because the wrapper, the cellophane wrapper, can absorb the scent of the other oils of the other cigar in the humidor. So you take that off, give it back to him. He smells it again. At this point, he likes to remove the ring from the cigar, which some people do, some people don't, but he likes to put the ring on one of my fingers. He does this because if we're in a room full of people who are serving cigars, then it's a good way to show other people. Of course, he knows I'm the one serving him, but let's say it was just, you know, random people that I was serving. Whoever gives me that ring and puts it on my finger, they know, if they know that ring, that I was the one that was giving them service. It's a good way of somewhat marking the person for the duration of the cigar, even the duration of the evening. So he puts the ring on my finger. He smells it again. He gives it back to me. That's whenever I cut the hole in the end from which he is going to smoke. Now, this has its own subcategories. You can either use a punch, which is a round cylinder, small short cylinder, that you twist into the end of the cigar and pull out, and it puts, it takes sort of like a little miniature round shaped chunk out of the end of it. A lot of people like that particular, our roommate actually likes that particular cut, so to speak, or the way of opening the cigar, because it gives him more control over the amount of smoke that comes into his mouth, because he's not a cigarette smoker. And it also allows him to control the amount of oxygen that comes through because it's a smaller hole. Then there are other people that like a V cut, and that's whenever you take a cigar cutter, which could be guillotine style or scissor style, and you cut it, and there is a V-shaped crevice that goes from the top to the bottom of the uncut part of the cigar. Or you can do a traditional round cut, which is what Master likes, and that's whenever you take a cutter, and my preferred ones are the ones that look like the guillotine, And the two blades, when they come together, look like two semicircles. And therefore, you can create anything from just a little cat's eye slit circle opening all the way to cutting off the end of the cigar, depending on how much airflow and how much smoke flow they want. I happen to know master's preference. This is the sort of thing, if you're serving someone from the first time, you ask them, and it's perfectly acceptable to speak during all. This is not like the kind of service where you're to be seen and not heard. You have to interact if you are serving someone and you don't know their preferences.
Right.
So then you ask them, you know, would you like a wide opening or a narrow opening, sir? Well, I would like a medium opening, which my master likes. Okay. And then you cut it accordingly. There are other different ways in order to open up a cigar. You know, you see the men from the movies in the 40s where they bite it off. That's completely inappropriate. Not good manners, but people do it anyway. I actually learned the other night at our Worthless Bastards Club how to open up the end of a cigar with a straight edge razor blade. A gentleman brought a straight edge and he did it. And I said, show me how to do that because I need to know. And he showed me, and the cut was very similar to using a regular round cut, except of course it was a little more blunt whenever it was done. You have a lot less control, but it's showy, you know, it's something neato that you can do. So then after I cut off the end, then I hand it back to him and he takes a puff through the unlit, uncharred, raw cigar because it has a certain taste, the air that comes through. You also get to taste the oils before any heat, you know, gets to touch it or go through it. Then he hands it back to me. Then I hold the cigar in my left hand because I'm my dominant hand is my right hand. And I hold the cigar at a 45 degree angle to the torch or the match or whatever it is you're using to light the cigar. There's as many different tools you can use to light a cigar as there are tools to cut a cigar. Some people prefer the butane torch. That's my go-to. Four burner, butane torch, every time. You get the most amount of heat, the most amount of control. Some people like to use matches because it burns a different flavor. Because remember, every fuel that you use on the cigar is going to give it a different flavor. So the cigars give sort of a more of a woody, you know, in homage to our co-host, woody flavor to the light. Some people have even been known to use Zippos, which is absolutely in bad form and it tastes horribly, horribly bad. But I guess any port in a storm whenever you don't have any matches or a torch.
You know, that's really fascinating.
Oh, yeah. Oh, because the fuel from a Zippo, oh, gosh, such a bad flavor.
I feel like such a slacker when it comes to having cigars.
You know, I was immersed in the culture. So even after JJ showed me all of this, it was very easy for me to catch up on it, so to speak, and to get with it. If it's something that you do every once in a while, I would never expect anyone to know this much about it unless they were a true aficionado, as they call it. The gentleman who was at our party on Saturday who did the straight razor, he works in a cigar shop, so he kind of knew his stuff. So it was great for me to learn something from him. And that's another thing. This is just like anything else in the BDSM world or the kink world. You never stop learning. There's always something new to learn. As I was saying, once I get it back from him, I hold the cigar at a 45 degree angle to the burner and I char the tip of the lid end of the cigar. Now, what that means is that I do not light it. I char it where the end of the cigar ends up being black. If it ends up lighting a little bit too much, I personally put it out on the palm of my hand as sort of a punishment to myself for lighting it too much. And then I give it to him. It should never smoke when you're charring it. And then I hand it back to him. He takes another draw through because then the flavor has changed again. Then he hands it back to me. And then that is when I put it in my mouth and I fully light it. The secret to a well-lit cigar is that you twirl it slowly while you hold the butane directly to the end, straight up and down to the cigar. So you are pulling the smoke into your mouth, and of course you're exhaling. Do not breathe in cigar smoke. You will have a bad time if you do that. And I am not a smoker at all, and I don't smoke cigars. But you will learn. You will absolutely learn to at least have an appreciation for the service that you're doing, if not the taste of the cigars, whenever you are doing this. So you make a turn. The best, in theory, if you make a full and complete turn with a cigar at the end of that, you should have a full and complete red fire, completely even at the very end of the cigar. So let's say you accomplish that, because I always turn around and take a look just to be sure. And then I hand it back to him. Well, and then again, different ways you can hand it back. You can hand it back I always turn it around with the red fire pointing towards me. So all he has to do is take it with his finger and his forefinger and his thumb and immediately start smoking it. There are other people who present in different ways. There is a way that I have seen done and I envy them and it's on my bucket list. But as of right now, I am so afraid of burns on my face. I can't do it, which is where they take the lit end. They put it in their mouths and they hold it with their teeth, no hands, and present it to the person taking the cigar. Now, if you do this, always remember a cigar burns at multiple hundreds of degrees. We're talking like 600-700 degrees, maybe even more. Master always knows that number whenever we present together. I never know this number. And I apologize for that in advance. But you have that lit end of the cigar in your mouth. You're holding it with your teeth. The person who is receiving the cigar, who's taking it from you, they need to put their hands on it and have a firm grip on it, but do not pull it out of your mouth because that is the surefire way to get burned. Pardon the pun. What would happen is that they would hold the cigar and then you, as the person holding it in your teeth, would open your mouth and pull back so that you know that you're not getting your lips, your gums, or anything close to that extremely super hot cherry on that cigar. So at that point, they're smoking. Very frequently, I will sit in between his legs and depending on how easy access certain things are, I've been known to entertain myself in other ways. And certainly entertain him in ways. You can also be human furniture. I love to sit on all fours in front of him so that he can prop his boots on my back.
I love it too.
While he is smoking, another alternative that I feel like is part of the cigar service is sitting next to him and being a human ashtray, either through him putting the ashes in a ashtray that I am holding or, and Master knows this is a punishment for me because I hate the taste of cigar ash and putting the cigar ash in my mouth. I also love him putting it on my body. This we're now getting more into the play part. But please be aware, those who are listening, who smoke the cigars, do not take ash directly from a cigar and put it on your bottom. That's bad because the ash still burns almost as hot as does the cigar.
The temperature of a cigar without drawing on the cigar, the lit portion is 752 degrees Fahrenheit.
There we go.
And the middle of the lit portion is 1,112 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, when you actually draw on the cigar, the middle of the lit portion goes up to 1,292 degrees Fahrenheit. So that's pretty hot.
We're getting really technical here.
That's hot. Well, I was curious. Google's my friend.
You absolutely have to. And yes, 750 is the number that Master always quotes. What he does whenever, and I hope you don't mind me transitioning quickly into play. Yes, the cigar service is a power exchange. So technically that's play. But the actual play aspects gets into whether the person who is doing the service sits there and is your human ashtray. If they are, that's groovy. Love it. However, make sure there's at least 2 inches of ash. And if you want to be super nice like Master is, once he has a long ash, he likes to take it off with his fingers. And if he can hold it with his fingers, then he knows he can put it on me. But even then, the center of the ash can still be abnormally hot. He blows on it, and then one of his favorite things to do is to crush it on my chest, rub it on my breast, etc. Or to have it and put it in my hands. Now, they put it in your hands. Yes. Bit of humiliation play because you're dirty, but also if you put cigar ash in one of your hand and rub your other hands like you're rubbing together lotion or something, mm-hmm. Your hands will be ashy and gray and all of this, but immediately go wash your hands with water only, not soap. Water only, your hands will be as soft as a baby's bottom. It is an amazing emollient, or I guess maybe it's kind of like the purest form of soap. You know, soap used to be made with ash.
Yeah,
it leaves your hands and any other body part they put it on, by the way, so soft. As long as you don't wash it with soap, just pure water. It is an amazing, amazing experience. Now, there are some girls out there that I've met the Death Cigar Service that get aroused with the feeling of the graininess. Maybe it's like an eroticism that they have because of the whole service thing. I've known women who they have had cigars put out on them, which again, you heard the temperatures. I personally would not recommend that because I can get into second to third degree burns. But you know what? Some people like that. Something that Master does that he absolutely loves because it's a mind fuck, and this is perfectly safe to do, you can take the lit end and hold it at someone's skin at a 45 degree angle, as long as it's not touching the skin. And you can feel the heat on, you know, the person who's receiving it, of course, really close. So it's very much a mind fuck for people like me who are scared to death of burns. But it will make you sit the most still you have ever sat in your entire life. I promise. I've even seen a master and slave, Master Conrad and Slave Jazz from Las Vegas, that she spreads her ass cheeks and he will get it right up on her anus. I mean, all up in there, like right there.
Woo!
It's interesting to watch. I'm not, that may be on my bucket list, but today is not that day. One of my favorite things to do, and I must give a warning about this because I just learned a valuable lesson on Valentine's Day. I'll tell you a story. Valentine's Day, I ordered one of Master's favorite brands of cigars and a really high quality one. Gurkha is his favorite. And I ordered three of them. I was going to marinate them. That is the term for doing basically what Monica Lewinsky did, but in a much more sophisticated form, which is it's not just a brief dip. I have not tried this anally, only because the anal cavity is not self-lubricating. But of course, ideally the vagina is. I took the cigar and you take the uncut, and yes, you have to take the ring off for this as well, the uncut portion of the cigar and you stick it up inside of you. And of course, the cut end you leave out because you don't want anything, you know, getting in there. And depending on your level of moisture, you leave it in for at least 20 minutes, 20 to 30, and then you take it out and then you let it dry for 24 hours outside of a humidor. Because it's going to be so moist and so wet, if you put it in your humidor, it might throw off the humidity level. And so you don't want to do that. You let it dry in a cool, dark is debatable, but yeah, a cool, darkish place, maybe on top of your humidor for 24 hours. And then you can put it in the humidor, you know, for the rest of the time. Of course, I would recommend that you actually mark them as being marinated, lest you give a pussy-flavored cigar to your friends, unless that's what you're into. And that's okay, too.
I just think that's very interesting. Yeah, yeah. I'm down for it.
You taste your woman every time you take, you know, a puff on the cigar. So here's the interesting story. I was going to do this for three cigars for Valentine's Day. Sounds like a great idea, right? A couple of days out. I had not had any breakfast, but, you know, sometimes I skip breakfast. It's not a big deal. So about 11 o'clock in the morning, I'm talking to my friend on, you know, Facebook Messenger, and I'm going at it, blah, 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 blah. And I have it inserted. Well, I get done with the first one, put in the second one, no problem. Slight problem. If anyone out there who's listening is not a smoker or has had nicotine poisoning before, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. I started getting the shakes, my heart started racing, and I got so nauseated. And the only reason why I knew what this was, which was nicotine poisoning, because I had absorbed it through my vagina, is that I had, whenever vaping was new and I, you know, tried it out just to see what it was like, I tried some vape juice with nicotine in it and I did too much at once and it gave me these exact same symptoms. I had given myself nicotine poisoning by doing too many back to back because it is a super strong concentration. It goes directly into your bloodstream because you're on one of your most sensitive and thin mucous membranes. So be careful with that. Especially if you're not a smoker, I would not recommend marinating more than one cigar every 24 hours because once you get nicotine poisoning, it's not like low blood sugar attack where you can just like eat something and you're fine. Oh no, I had to ride that wave out for 3 hours and it was miserable. So be very, very careful if you want to do this.
Lesson learned the hard way.
Well, that is very good advice.
Yes, something again, I've now learned two new things about cigars this year alone. You know, it really is one of those, the more you learn things. And I always recommend going to, even if you go to just your local cigar shop, watching people. I will give Master cigar service sitting in a chair next to him at cigar shops. And you know, the funniest thing, they don't even bat an eyelash. Of course, I'm not marinating right there in front of them. But like, you know, the presenting of the wrapper and the cutting and all this other stuff, they don't even think anything about it. They really don't. Out in Texas, they certainly didn't. And here in Georgia, I've done it a time or two. And yeah, no, they don't think anything about it. There was a huge cigar club here in Atlanta called Prohibition. They closed down this last year. And yeah, we would sit on the couches and I would do it all the time. And actually, the bartenders would look at us going, we love watching what you're doing. You seem to really know what you're doing here with this. We want to see this. I'm like, yeah, a little bit.
Well, it's a very beautiful production.
It is.
A ritual, almost.
Kind of thing that you can do for hours if you're at a party. You know, another one of my services, whenever I do cigar service, like a lot of the times we would go to Prohibition, a lot of leather folk, we would all go, and I would serve every one of them a cigar, and I would make sure every single one of them stayed lit. Did I get nicotine poisoning that night? I sure did, because all the cigars that were lit, but you know what? Their cigars stayed lit. Their ashtrays, the big ashtrays remained. See, to me, I not only empty them, but I clean them as they're being used. And I make sure that I know which cigar is everybody's cigar, where is it placed, who's smoking it, and whether or not they want to put it out. I also watch their drinks. You know, of course, we could get into a whole other different podcast about scotches and the single malts and what they taste like and which ones you pair with the cigars. But you don't necessarily have to drink scotch. It can be any liquor of choice, but scotch and whiskey and bourbon and all of those, they're the big ones. But yeah, it can be a challenge if you're doing it by yourself and there's multiple cigar smokers. But I love it though, because again, it's a service, and I love the service stuff.
So what about the play portion? Where does the cigar play come in?
Well, that was the part that I was just talking about. To me, it crosses over into play whenever I am holding his ashtray or becoming his ashtray, becoming his human furniture. Whenever he takes the cigar, you know, pulls my hair back, takes me by the hair and runs the cigar, you know, close to my skin, down my neck to give me that mind fuck. Ashing is what it's called, where they take the ash and they rub it all over your body, or they put it in your mouth, or, you know, when they do something with it, when they're not just smoking it. And it's like smoking plus, to me, that's the play. Because to me, the service stops whenever he takes it and he starts smoking it. And the play starts after that for me. Because even maintaining the lit cigar, keeping everything clean, yeah, that's a service. But that's a very submissive thing to me. And it's something that as a slave, I enjoy doing. And then, of course, when it becomes even more interactive and he's, you know, putting his boots on my back, or he's putting the ash on my body, or I'm, you know, sitting perfectly still holding the ashtray for him, making sure that the cigar stays lit, all of that. That's part of the play for me. Cigar play is only limited by your imagination. I have seen just all sorts of things. I've seen some service people be the cigar ashtray holder, where they would take the unlit part, stick it in the mouth of the slave, and you get to sit there, watch it burn, getting slowly closer and closer and closer to your face. And then if it starts to go out, what a perfect place for you to keep it lit, because you can sit there and puff on it because it's right there in your mouth. Really, you are absolutely only limited by your imagination in this version of play, which is what I absolutely adore about it.
Can you recommend any places to purchase a cigar? Say, for me, I know nothing about cigars, and I want to buy some cigars for friends. Where do I go?
It really depends on your individual cities. I would start by going, if you want to go in person, which I always recommend in person, then once you kind of know your cigars, then you can go to places like cigars.com and other websites in order to buy them. But you know, whenever you buy from a website, and they ship, you never know if they're going to maintain the temperature and humidity that you're supposed to maintain. I've ordered some online and they're not bad, but I always prefer going and picking mine because I know what level of sponginess and springiness the cigar is supposed to have. I know what's an overly moist one and one that's, you know, underly moist, which dry. And I can certainly go over those technical aspects here in a minute. I would suggest going to a cigar shop. And then you sit and you talk and you see, you know, the shape and condition of their humidor. Does it look like they take care of their stuff? Do they look like they take care of their customers? Talk to the people who are smoking and saying, hey, what other shops do you go to? Eventually, you will find the most popular one. And they'll be the most popular not only because they treat their smokers well, but they also have the best prices. Sometimes they even have events. You know, I met Rocky Patel not too long ago because there was this very obscure, it seemed like it was obscure because it was way north of Atlanta, in Cumming. Yes, believe it or not, there's a town called Cumming in Georgia. Spelled exactly as you might would think. But it was in Cumming. And the reason why it was so popular is because there was a heavy population of police officers and firemen who lived around there, and they loved their cigars. And so they had enough of a pull to bring Rocky Patel, who's a major manufacturer of cigars, and the man himself. And so they had a party there. And that's another good thing about cigar events at cigar shops. 9.5 times out of 10, they're free. and you can go and you can talk to people. Hey, what's your favorite cigar? Oh, you know, I like Oliva G. What do you like about Oliva G? Well, it's lighter and, you know, it doesn't last, you know, extremely long time. And it always has a very smooth and consistent flavor no matter what year you buy. By the way, that's why I like Oliva G's. What brand in general do you like? I like Gurkha. I've never smoked a bad Gurkha. And one of the best is the Gurkha Ghost. By the way, true story. Those are the ones that, again, if I were to smoke one, I like serving these because, again, you get the flavor of it if you're serving them. So you get to know the flavors.
Right.
And another good way to keep up with that is a cigar journal. And we have one that a dear friend of ours, I don't know, I don't remember his Fet Life name, but it's Griffin, I want to say 2020. But he's a friend of ours from Texas who actually moved to Atlanta, which was awesome to have him here. And he was a member of the Worthless Bastards Cigar Club out there in Dallas, too. And he, for one of his leather projects in the leather family that he was in, was to make a cigar journal. And I mean, his is extremely detailed and I love it. And basically, it's just a spiral bound notebook. And on the page, it has a place for you to remember the band that I told you that he puts on my finger.
Yes.
There's a place to tape that in there. She'll always know what it looks like. She'll always know what you're looking for. And then it has a place for you to write in the name. Where did you buy it? Was it, you know, really moist or was it dry? Was it full? Was it light? Well, I mean, does it have this flavor, that flavor? Because you can have peppery and you can have smoky, believe it or not, smoky smoke. Oaky, is it all of these different flavors? Chocolate. Did you eat this with food? Yes or no? Did you drink this with drink? Yes or no? If so, what was it and what was its reaction? I mean, every page with all of these questions. And the last question, which I personally love, would you buy it again?
Most important. Have you ever tried the cigars that come out of Florida that the hand-rolled? They're a group over near Tampa. They were Cubans that continued the tradition of hand-rolling the Cuban cigars since you couldn't purchase from Cuba.
But you can now.
Well, yeah, now you can. But for a long time, you couldn't, and people were going to Tampa to buy those cigars. I remember going to the factory watching them hand-roll the tobacco. It was quite a process. Have you ever tasted any of those?
I have, and it's the gentleman in Ybor City is actually, their entire culture is based around this.
Mm-hmm.
If you get one really fresh, they're really good. They can be a little moist, of course, because they're just making them. But I'm going to give you, and this is a complete shout out to my master, who I know will listen to this podcast. He will really appreciate me saying this. In his opinion, and since I am not a big prolific smoker, I'm not going to say one way or the other, but in his opinion, and in many, many other people's opinions, the only reason why Cubans were so sought after for so long is because they couldn't be found. They couldn't be acquired easily here in America. He says that he has tasted some from the Dominican Republic way better than anything he's gotten from Cuba.
I've heard that too. When I lived in Miami, a lot of people would smoking the Dominican cigars and really enjoyed them.
Absolutely. And of course, our roommate who tells the story about how he smoked his first Cuban on top of the American embassy in Afghanistan or some glamorous military story that he has, like, oh, well, that's the best cigar I ever had. And I frequently think to myself, maybe it was the setting, because I'm pretty sure any cigar would have been pretty awesome there, you know. But yeah, he swears by Cubans. So really, again, cigars are very subjective according to taste.
Mm-hmm, very personal.
No one's answer. Yes, just like wine. I'm a big wine taster too. It all depends on, you know, everybody has different taste buds. Nobody tastes or smells the same. I am what's called a super taster because I have a larger than normal number of taste buds and they're all active. That also makes me a super smeller. Can be a blessing or a curse. But I can definitely tell you what flavors are in this wine and that cigar and that scotch. But then you have people like my master who his sense of smell and taste were damaged at work. Like 70% of his taste buds and scent doesn't work. And so what tastes good to him may not taste good to someone else, may not taste good to me. So never, ever let anyone say, oh, you smoke Oliva G's or whatever, you know. Oh, well, that's horrible. Well, for you, you know, this really is one of those instances where your kink isn't my kink.
Right.
So always be careful with that because I'm not big on judgy people anyway, but judging people trying to tell me what I can eat, drink, or smoke, no, that doesn't work for me. Oh, and I was going to talk about humidity levels. In a humidor, now I could get into a whole big old spiel about how to season a humidor. As a matter of fact, on FetLife, on my personal profile, I have written journal entries about this very thing, about how to season a humidor, how to re-season a humidor, how to rehydrate a cigar. Now, a small little redux on that very quickly. When a cigar dries out, it will never taste the same again. However, if you got it for an emotional reason or they're really expensive and you just don't want to throw it away, you can rehydrate a cigar. But the reason why it will never taste the same again is what gives a cigar its flavor are the oils inherent to the tobacco leaf. And if they dry out, you can't rehydrate that, but you can rehydrate the leaf around it. So be warned, you can rehydrate it, but it'll never taste the same again. But again, if you got one like, you know, if you bought one whenever your son was born and you want to smoke it with him on his 18th birthday or whatever, I mean, you know, and if it dries out, it's not going to taste the same, but you know, who cares? You're smoking it with your son. It's cool. But yeah, I have details on my FetLife page about that. And I'll give out that FetLife handle at the end of this. A humidor should be kept between 68 and 72%. The temperature, they never really specify a temperature, but they always say to keep your humidor in a cool, dry place away from any outputting registers or input registers, actually, from your central heating and air, because the wind going past that, cool or warm, can alter the humidity level of your humidor, because most humidors are made from Spanish cedar and they're very sensitive. How do you know what percentage of humidity is in your humidor? There's something called a hygrometer. That's high G-R-O-meter, hygrometer. And they come with every humidor. And if not, you can buy them separately for like $5. I mean, the really fancy brass ones too. They're really cool. And you can calibrate them. You can get different calibration tools that are $1 or $2, and they're very easy to use. Basically, it's a moisture pack. You put it inside this moisture pack, and after 15 minutes, if it reads, you know, somewhere between 68 and 72, then you're good. Pull that out and you stick it. They're all magnetized at this point, most of them, to the top of your humidor. Shut the humidor within 24 hours after you've initially seasoned it. It should give you an accurate representation of what the humidity is like in there. You know, 24 is the earliest I would check it. You can actually rehydrate the humidor whenever you're first seasoning it over 3 days. And then you'll get an accurate read, especially after the third day. But if you just get like a humidor that's already seasoned and you just, somebody gives you a humidor full of cigars, first of all, you have a really good friend, whoever that is. Second of all, there's the little, the pad that stays in there that you can use to put pure water in. I only use distilled water, no minerals, because the minerals can cause mold growth and uneven humidity and all this. You don't want that. I use baby water. You know, the baby water that you can get to make formula in the grocery stores.
Yes.
To me, that's the best kind. Use the baby water if it's good for babies, you know, it's the best for cigars. But there's also other people who are of a school of thought where you use the hydration beads, purpling glycol, and that's supposed to maintain perfect humidity and you don't have to worry about adding water to it. I'm an old-timey girl. I like to use the water. I don't want any more chemicals in my humidor than what's necessary. So take that for what it's worth. Again, subjective. Both scientifically work perfectly well. It absolutely does not alter the flavor, the propylene glycol. It's the same stuff that people who vape use. You know, it's perfectly safe. But to me, I'm an old-fashioned kind of girl, and I like just to use the water. Now, of course, that means I have to check the humidor at least once a week to make sure that it's proper, you know, the humidity is proper, but I don't mind that. I don't mind that a bit. But the hygrometer is what tells you what percentage of humidity you have. And again, I can get into seasoning a humidor. That's all on my FetLife profile if you want to read that. There's also great articles out there on the internet. I mean, really, if I have a gap in knowledge, I have no problem with Googling or asking somebody that I know. Going to your local cigar shop, hey, what's the best way to keep the humidity in your humidor, in your opinion? Or what's the best way to season one, in your opinion? You will get 40,000 different opinions, and that's okay, because that's how you learn the different methods, and that's how you learn the different ways to do it until you find the one that's right for you.
Lady Steele, you are a wealth of knowledge and very technical knowledge on cigars, cigar play, and I thank you for that. I would like to get your FET names. You have two of them.
I have several, but the ones that are applicable here, if you want to contact me as a professional or anything I have, you know, any questions about this, of course, it's Attorney Lady Steele, and that's attorney, the word, lady, L-A-D-Y, Steele, S-T-E-E-L-E, three E's, not all in a row, quoting a gentleman from MASH. And then my personal profile, which you can also reach out to me there, just say you heard me on the Kinky Cast. I don't mind private messages ever. That is Kajira Bay, K-A. J-I-R-A-B-A-E. And that is where you can find all of my journal entries in regards to most of the things there. I talk about things like how to hydrate a dry cigar, how to season a humidor, et cetera, et cetera. As far as the play is concerned, I haven't written anything on that yet, but I may. But yeah, any questions that anyone has, please, please do not hesitate to reach out to me via FetLife. I do not mind that a bit.
In the first weekend in May, we will find you live and in person in Atlanta at Frolicon.
Absolutely.
You're going to be covering what classes?
That will be BDSM and the Law on Friday. And on Saturday, I believe, although I don't think I've gotten my schedule for that track yet, it is Poly Estate Planning. And if you're local, and I'm not sure when this podcast is going to come out, but this Saturday at the Atlanta Eagle, I'm actually doing a cigar service and play class for the Female Submissives Munch. That's another thing. If you hear this before Frolicon and you want to ask me questions about cigars at Frolicon, please come and find me. Again, I'll be more than glad to do it. You can find me on the guidebook also, the app that's going to be there.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure, always.
It is always great to hear you, and we will be recording your Frolicon presentations for the Kinky Cast, and
awesome.
our audience can keep up with all your wealth of information that you have, certainly on the legal aspects of BDSM. I can listen to you for days on that one. The last show we did with you was a two-parter. We did go on for days.
I did go on for days that day. That's
that was
right.
Great.
But there's so much great information. You know, sometimes we skate right along the legal edge of what we do, especially in different states. And so it's good to have some background on that.
Absolutely. It's always my pleasure. I am actually a shy person, which is kind of funny, but I'm not shy about questions. Please, especially if you hear from the Kinky Cast, because these guys are wonderful. I always love to hear from my listeners here, because everybody always seems to be so sweet and so intelligent, and I really appreciate that.
You've been a great asset to the Kinky Cast and a great friend. We really do appreciate that.
Have a good evening.
You have been listening to episode 118 of the Kinky Cast. For more information about this show, go to kinkycast.com. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of Woody, the Beast, and all our Kinky crew, I'm Max. See you next week when we bring you Pad the Prowls. Whip it good.